talking about fee structures, different agreements.
I think that's, as I understand, that's what we discussed, or what we're discussing tonight. What you have that Tom passed out to everybody is a listing from Bryson Park, that whole district, if you would. There's not a specific Bryson Park, it's a district, but within there, it's Bryson Park District, Eastview Park, Westview Park, and there's some miscellaneous elements that you see in there. Some of the concerns that's been brought up is how do we charge, and some of the council members or have asked about, how do we charge for parking lot, how do we charge for grass? Normally, it's just been structures, but these are the items on there. Frankly, we're bringing that, there's not, I'm gonna take the amphitheater. We built that, that was done with a line item grant from the state, for those that may not know that, the Harley-Jones Memorial Amphitheater. That will rent for $300 or $400 with the sound speaker system. And again, that sound speaker system's only for talking, not for music. So people say, it's not a good sound system, well, it wasn't designed for their band. They could bring their own vocals and computers for that. So it was done at that level because of the expense of that, it does have maintenance enough after a while. We've already had to, I think, re-mortar one of the pedestals, our kids got up there. Not necessarily, I don't think being malicious, but they were jumping up and down on the top, and they knocked the capstones off, they knocked some of the block off, so it had to be re-mortared up there. It's gonna happen within a park. Those are things that can't happen. I don't think there's any real harm done, we just had to repair that. The money doesn't go into an isolated fund, it does go back to the general fund, but tarps always come out of the general fund to transfer to the parks fund. So when there is maintenance or repair, we'll have money that will come out of there. Trying to maintain a fund of maybe getting a couple thousand, $2,000 or $3,000 a year isn't going to, it's not gonna do enough to defray costs at that level. We would just have to transfer money into it, which we do now into capital if we have to do a major repair. So these are the items, and I guess one of the questions is, for Parks and Rec Committee, obviously council as a whole is here anyway, but what things do you believe that need to be charged for? And I'm gonna print that, with the exception of the pool. I think it's just the pool. That's the only one that you have to pay to get access to get inside. Everything else, you can use for free as long as somebody hasn't reserved it. So when people are reserving the tent, the ground for a wedding, the amphitheater, we've never rented out playgrounds. We've kept that open, because that's what they're supposed to be. But we've not rented those out. But when people reserve a shelter house, they're reserving so that it's their use. They have a lease for that, it's their use. And that's why they're paying, there's a value to it. Otherwise, if you just say first come, first serve, anybody can use it. So if they reserve it, and I don't want people to just merely attach their name to it, and then if they don't use it, no big deal, because now it's been reserved. We plan to change the trash bag, whatever it is, for the shelter houses. So I do think there's certainly a value in having a rental fee for the shelter houses, the amphitheater, the red tent, even the pool when we do pool parties, it's a little separate. But I think there's a value to do that. You're not only renting it, you're getting a level of service to get it prepped for you. You know, if it's the amphitheater, we'll go clean off if there's any goose poop, we'll clean off goose poop. We're making sure it's clean, there's not sticks and stuff, and then clean it off. If somebody rents a ball field, because they want to do their own tournament on the end, that's not a rec sport. That's not maybe a high school sport that does that. There's a cost if they want to rent the field that prevents other people from using it, if they need it lined, if there's other things that need to occur in there, if they want the, they want all the lines dragged. I mean, there's a number of things that go in there that there's a value to that. Not all communities charge for their facilities, but they don't necessarily prime or prep or clean either. So there is that. If somebody just wants to go out and use the shelter house, if there's junk in it, they can throw it away. I mean, we take care of it, but we're not gonna go out specifically to have somebody go out and clean it just because somebody calls up and say, hey, I'm gonna have a picnic there with a couple friends, can you come clean it? No, if they haven't rented it, we're not doing that. That's a little bit far. It's not main service. So, and I think some of the elements that's been a little bit more of a question lately was the open areas of grass, or parking lots for car shows. I had a gentleman contact me in the last couple of days, Friday or Saturday. He said, look, they have coffee and cars in Dayton, They want to do a car and coffee up there. It's got nothing to do with my shop. It's about bringing in a coffee trailer somewhere. Well, I said, if you bring in a vendor like that, you're going to have to get a permit anyway, because we don't allow people just come into the park, hook up, and start selling products. But they want to do that, which means they would need to reserve one of the parking lots. And to date, we have never, I believe, charged for that. Is that correct?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, to my knowledge, we have never assessed for that kind of an element. And the question is, do we want to or not? I don't know. That will be up to council.
Okay. Yeah, well, I just a question. I mean, that's a good point that we don't, but I'm sure if they're having a car show, they got some guys that put a lot of money in their cars.
Well,
I don't want the public to pull in, maybe
correct.
Damage the car.
Correct.
So they may be willing to do that, and I kind of think that makes sense if we want to eliminate the public, if they're going to have a specific car show.
Correct. I think that would be appropriate. Otherwise, you can't block the public from going into there.
Right.
There has to be some kind of a reservation. There's got to be value to that reservation. Or on the flip side, you'll have somebody in the front saying, hey, we just want to reserve the parking lot behind the hot water hole because I got a lot of family members coming.
Oh.
I don't want to do that either.
$5 of space.
Yeah.
Okay. Going along that lines, what you said, the people from coming up from Dayton want to reserve the parking lot.
Exactly.
But the citizens can't go watch the car.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, it's open to the public,
okay.
But they would need those spaces. And car shows, they want next to each other.
Sure.
They don't go on the other side of people parking, going to the playground. So they would need a block. Say they need 60 spaces, and they're going to go in and block out 60 spaces just for the cars that are coming.
I could understand that if it's John Q. Citizen from Salina, but maybe an outdoor parking.
Well, why wouldn't you do it for John Q. Citizen of Salina if he's going to block off that parking lot that nobody else could be at?
Sure. Well, I mean,
it's still open to the public.
But I was thinking if it was an outside Salina organization coming in, I'm not sure how that would, if you're preventing somebody from Salina using the parking lot, I would think you would have to charge at that point.
I would agree. But even if you decided, if Matt decided you want to do a car show up there, and you are having 60 cars come up, I need these parking lots. Just by virtue of you being a Salina citizen, should you get it at no cost when it blocks other people from utilizing that parking lot, local or away? And quite frankly, at any given weekend in nice weather, you have people from outside Salina in our parks everywhere, even from Indiana. There's people that come out to use our parks. So, I mean, there's a lot of out-of-city plates that are here on weekends. And it's not being argumentative, it's just like, where do you draw that line?
The one thing you got to remember, too, is the staff's going to have to go out and put barricades and block it all off.
There's
so
a cost.
So it don't get used by the thing, and there's going to be costs, for that. So,
that's right, there's always
a
cost.
You're going to have to pay your, if you have it on a Saturday.
Overtime.
Saturday morning, somebody's going to have to go up, put the barricades up, and then when it's over with, they're going to take them down. I think we need to charge for something like that because, I mean, you can't. Otherwise, it'll get parked full of people fishing or wanting to use the boat ramp, and then they're not going to be able to utilize their spaces if they want to rent that area. So,
that's right.
And it's just like you're renting the shelter houses, because the shelter houses are reservation fee, but we also have staff that goes out and make sure that the trash cans are empty.
Correct.
And that, because out at Eastview Park especially, is on a Friday night, the shelter houses get used a lot with not being reserved.
Not reserved, just the first.
And they fill the trash cans up, so if somebody wants to reserve on Saturday, we always had staff go out Saturday morning, clean them all off, dump all the trash cans, make sure the charcoal grills are emptied and stuff like that. So you always had some expense to that,
Correct.
And I think what was the $25 fee back one time?
I got bumped up to 40.
You got bumped up to 40.
Yeah, 40.
And that barely covered your staff.
That wouldn't cover staff coming in the morning and then coming in, because when we call staff in, it's typically 2 hours minimum. So, I mean, it's not even going to cover that staff. But we also don't want to price our stuff out of the market. It is public facilities, but there's a value to it.
The hot water hole is on this. Is that part city property?
Yeah, the state owns the water in it.
Okay, so technically, it really shouldn't be on this, should it?
Well,
We've had a lot of complaints about the hot water hole, especially during Lake Fest, because people rent the boat docks that we rent out to them, and then there's a period they can't use their own boat docks. So they're like, why do we have to pay to rent our boat slip if these people don't have to pay to use the hot water hole and kick us out of our boat slips?
But I think on the boat slips, that's that when they rent them, it's spelled out on your contract that it's.
It is now.
It is now, and we did make sure.
Yeah, we had to do that because we had so many complaints about it.
That's why I asked, is because I thought that the state took care of it right at the water's edge, and that's not something that we have free fishing in there, right?
No. Because they own that area. It's inside the city limits, but they own the water.
Okay.
So it's under a navigable waterway of the United States. So.
The parking lot itself belongs to the city.
Right.
I understand that.
And the boat docks are ours, but we still have to pay for it.
Each of the ponds that we have free fishing.
Those are ours, and Eastview and Westview, that's correct.
Gotcha. That's why I was shocked to see it was on here.
Right.
But we tried to include everything that we could think of.
Right.
I'm not saying that we're in favor of renting some of it out, but we didn't want to try to leave anything off the list.
So we can rent the boat docks?
Yeah.
And the county and the state don't see any of that?
No, yeah. State sends us a bill.
They
send
us
charge
a bill for every slip.
Gotcha.
They do for every slip.
We have to maintain them.
Right. Okay. All of them.
And replace them. But the state gets a fee for each individual slip, not just each dock, each slip.
There's a slip on each side of that dock. We pay on both sides.
There's some nuances here I didn't really understand.
Fair question. Very fair question. So we've already got the dock type fees. That's done because we work with the state on that. Personally, I would say the hot water hole, unless we look at it at Lake Festival time, I would never rent out that parking lot behind the hot water hole because of the fishermen and because people that have rented docks need direct access to their boats. I don't think that would be fair to lock any of that away. We've got plenty of parking out there, and so we're excited it'll be paid pretty soon. So,
how does it work currently when there's a reserve time and there are people that are there? How does that work typically?
We show up and tell them they have to leave.
Yeah, and they're okay with it typically, or like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just go and say you have to leave, or maybe one of the officers goes out and say, hey, this is reserved, it's time to leave.
We put signs
up that say reserved.
Yeah. It has the person's name on who's reserving it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And the time that they're reserving. So it'll have, it'll say, have Wolf on it Saturday, September 10th. 7 a.m. to whatever. So then it's posted. Each shelter house has a little area that we post in there.
There's been rarely, once in a great while, somebody was in there, didn't see the sign came in from the other side, we'll have to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than
that.
And
you can point to the sign and just say,
it is reserved.
Most of the people that reserve it run them off on their own.
So they do so we don't have to leave. But see, that comes from having to pay a fee. Because then there's value to it.
Yeah.
So.
And I agree too, because there's, like Councilman Wolf said, that there's work that's being done before, work after. So
yes.
It's a lease, as you said. I would agree too that there are things in here that if you're going to make sure nobody else can get to, that there needs to be some value added to it. That's what I would think. Other discussion points on that?
We provide the service which people appreciate for us, having them clean and ready to go.
Yes.
So at the very least, we got to at least have it to break even, but we're not going in the hole.
If I have to raise my prices, I might keep people from renting anything.
Right, but are we renting at a break even?
No.
No.
We're still losing money on it.
At $40, I'm still not making enough, because there are costs and roll-ups, maybe, depends who we use.
If we use seasonal help,
we're probably $20 with roll-ups, and if they get 2 hours to come out, that's 40. 2 hours, come back, clean up, that's another 40, that's 80.
Well, I guess it's like walking a tightrope. You can't.
It is.
You can't price yourself out of the game. So.
I don't want to be an elitist and say, unless you're really writing the checks, you don't get to come here.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that, but I think there's a value if we have at a certain level.
Okay, Mr. Balto?
Yeah, I think just similar to the swimming pool, we're not going to get to the point where we're breaking.
Oh no.
So it's, but I do think there has to be a certain amount charged, just because one, the time it's taking our staff to service that, but then just also the value that brings.
Correct.
I guess my biggest thing when we go through this and talk about these things is just consistency.
Yes.
Consistency in what we're charging and who we're charging. And I know there was some talk the last time about waiving certain things, certain fees for certain entities. If we're going to go that route, I think there needs to be clear parameters of who we're waiving and when we're waiving, because you'll get into this, well, you waive this organization, why aren't you waiving the fee for us?
And you get unfairness.
Right.
Discriminatory actions.
So if we're going to do it, we have to have clear parameters. This is why it was waived, because they need this, this, and this.
Okay.
I think consistency is important.
Yes.
Mr. Ross.
Ditto. I was thinking the same thing, because in the past, I know we may not have been fair to all entities.
I agree.
So, like I said, who do we?
You know, you look at if Myron wants to have a family reunion, we charge you for it, but it's your family.
And that should be.
But Lake Festival, for instance, they're 100 years, and it is absolutely massive, community-wide, something for everybody. We've never charged them, but we've given them a lot of in-kind services, several thousand dollars worth. We've got overtime on police and fire paramedics have to be down there, our staff constantly running, let alone the inconvenience of Lakeshore Drive closed and rerouting. I mean, there's a lot of things with parade, and we've never charged for that. I'm not suggesting in any way that we start charging for it, but where are the parameters? There's got to be a consistent level here. So some events that will say, yes, we're going to do an event that we want the public come, but it's very specific public. I mean, Freedom Days wanted just certain. They said it was open to the public, but I'm not sure how much it was open to the public.
Same with Boardwalk Grill.
And Boardwalk Grill. That's another one. They closed the road on West Bank Drive. West Bank Road out there, they would close it. Now they've got two events this year. They've got great events down there. It draws a lot of people. They still allow traffic to get through there. They got to drive through their development, but they can still drive and get through there.
But they clean up after themselves.
And they clean up after themselves.
For the most part.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
Correct me, Joe, if I'm wrong. All of them that do rent are supposed to clean up after themselves anyhow.
When they rent a shelter house or what?
Anything.
Well, they're supposed to.
Like Lake Festival.
Lake Festival.
Governor's Cup.
Governor's Cup and Lake Festival. You know, we asked them to make sure they had, if the bag was full, to pull a bag and set it off to the side. Didn't really get done much.
No, it did
when I was on the committee, but after I got up, maybe it didn't get done much, and so we had staff members up to do both events, Governor's Cup and Lake Festival, during the event doing that, and it's a huge undertaking on that. I mean, it's, Lake Festival is huge. People don't realize, I mean, you spend a week prior, and then 2 days after, and most of the staff is busy with just that. And then the weekend of, you know, Saturday morning, you get up at 5 a.m., you go dump all the trash cans, sweep the downtown, do all the sidewalks off and everything, go through and pick everything up and clean it up, and then same thing on Sunday morning. You go in, do after the parade, you go in, sweep the whole parade route, dump all the trash cans on the whole parade route. It takes probably 14 people, a couple hours to get that done. So everybody, you know, yes, the staff members, they can hate Lake Festival because they gotta get up 4 o'clock in the morning to dump trash. Yeah, but it's good for the community though.
How much money has Lake Fest bring into this?
Lake Fest bring, well, it depends who you talk to. You've talked to the Convention and Visitor Bureau, they always say it brings in, you know, $80,000 to $100,000. I don't see it. My wife's manager, Bob Evans Restaurant, during Lake Festival, even when they was down by the lake, their business was down. McDonald's business is down a little bit. You know, hotels are booked. That's about it. You know, you're gonna sell some fuel and stuff. But as far as tax dollars bringing into the community, it's not a big business.
Because the vendors don't get
taxed. They don't pay any income tax. So it really, it doesn't really.
That would be one of the metrics that I think we could maybe monetize.
There's no way to monetize it. You can't.
Lake Festival generates probably $50,000 to $60,000 worth of income, running all their grass spaces off and all their food vendor spots out, and their donations and stuff. And it takes right at $45,000-$50,000 to put that event on. So when I got off the committee 20-some years ago, we had like $90,000 in our accounts, and we always tried to have $75,000 startup money. So,
out of a safety.
Yeah, and usually when you get done, if you had $75,000 in your cushion, when you got done, you might have $82,000-$83,000. They might profit $7,000 or $8,000.
And yeah, that's, I've been asked that a number of times. They don't pay income tax. Nobody pays income tax.
So it doesn't really generate a whole lot of tax dollars.
So. We don't get
county.
It goes to CDP. And in this area, it was about $40,000 a year.
I think you could, the city could put it on.
And if I do, it reduces what the county has.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So it would reduce their funding to CDP, and we found that out a few years ago. We're not willing to hurt the county. Convention Visitors Bureau, or whatever it's called now. We call it CDP, but it's got a different name, but it's the same thing.
Same word or something.
Yeah, something. So, what about, you know, you got parking lots, are you okay to lease those for specific events? I'm not talking about generalized parking for an event. I'm talking about for a car show. I mean, is that something you are okay with, not okay with?
Sounds like that event could be something that's like seed event you could grow maybe.
I think it
could. I've seen these little things.
Yeah, they run a lot.
That's what they're doing up there on the boardwalk. They start little events to get every year.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
I agree.
You don't want to strap them too hard when they don't want to come back.
They just have to get a permit, and if they break it, what do we do for the other one? For boardwalk.
They just get the F2 permit.
Do they need an officer down there?
It's whatever their license required. I don't think they required an officer.
I'm not sure they did this. They've got a permit.
Oh, no, because they're actually selling inside their restaurant.
They are, but then they had a couple, I think Rotary was selling, and there might have been a brewery out there, too.
Yeah, I don't think we had an officer down there. I mean, we had an officer down there, but it wasn't required by their permit.
Okay. So, it's what the permit requires.
Does the permit also require, though, it has to be a confined space?
It was confined.
Yeah, those permits do the fencing around them and everything.
Except now you're in the
door.
The door.
But that's a specific permit.
Yeah.
Because of that, they can't utilize the door for their permit.
They can't use the door during that.
They have two conflicts with it. Okay. So.
Yeah, and I believe also, anytime that we are having a group saying that the public is not completely welcome, like we're kind of manning the show here, I think that we need to make that some kind of rental charge. That's my personal feelings of the city. If we're blocking, if we're letting an entity block anybody, then they need to front something towards us, like, if they don't have that kind of power.
What about open ground? And you know, we've got different areas of open ground. Even at Westview, when they're not playing games, there's open ground. Behind the red tent, there's open ground.
It's like the volleyball tournament. They're on red grass.
It's all grass.
Is there a way to do signage or anything like that, or like have some kind of barricades that have a sign on them so people can still see in 6 hours or something that somebody's reserved this area?
We started putting up posts for the boundaries. Yeah. We just started that last year.
Okay. Good.
That way everybody knew what the boundaries of the events were. So
we rented the
area
behind the red tent for weddings and stuff, and put a tent up.
Yeah.
And area for a wedding.
What is that?
Responsible.
Oh, yes. Mine is unopened.
Our biggest concern from staff is we rent some things, we don't, but we have no ordinance that tells what we're renting. Because it all used to be part of an old rec board, but then the rec board was abandoned or demolished. So it all kind of just falls on whatever the rec director wants to do. And we would prefer to have, all right, we're willing to rent this, at these prices, and we'll have it all in one ordinance. That way, annually or whatever, council can pull that ordinance back up and say, hey, is there anything that needs to be changed on it? Instead of right now, it's just written down on a piece of paper down there. And
We just like something that's something official. And I think it goes back to what Eric said was consistency of it. If we are going to alleviate, and I'm going to use my festival because you're back, we are going to utilize them because of the inclusivity of everything, and we're going to not charge them for the use of everything. How do we word that? I think that's going to be an important thing moving forward. Concert in the Park series is another one. I mean, that's all by donations, they're a nonprofit. They're out there doing it, certainly open to everybody and anyone. I think the volunteer firemen had been going up doing Goodwill offerings for hot dogs and hamburgers. They may have suggested price, but if you have 50 cents, they're still going to give you a hamburger. They don't charge, so therefore they don't need to go, they're not considered a vendor per se, and they don't need a health department permit for it because it's a free will offering or a Goodwill offering.
Do we charge the concerts?
We haven't.
Listen, that revival festival last year wanted to give away food, and we're told they couldn't.
Recharge?
It's how they came about to do that. They want to have vendors. You can't have vendors free. I mean, there's a different element to that. So, well, we're going to pay them.
Something that I heard as well.
Yeah.
And that changed during the process.
It changed during the process.
So first they told us it was all going to be donation. Then before the event, they came back, oh, we're charging. We're like, oh, you can't do that. So what they told us and what they actually did were two different things.
Gotcha.
So with Lake Festival, I know that we're talking, you know, whether we charge them or not. Lake Festival is such a broad event that I don't know how you would charge them. I mean, if they're all over the whole city, and I don't see what that festival is just unique. I don't see how you charge the Red Tent, and you charge the amphitheater, then you charge your grass area for a car show, then you start charging each shelter house, and you know, and then what you start charging to close the streets off, you know, and they would go in a hole so fast they would never make it, and it just fold. We don't want that to happen.
Well, even some of the numbers you threw out, even if you said they bring $20,000 into the city, which is probably conservative,
right?
That's your threshold, how many other events bring in $20,000?
Yeah.
You know, that could be a justification. Well, this is such a big event, there's in excess of $20,000 coming into the community. If it's that level, we waive any fees.
But if it's based on hotel stays, and you brought $20,000 worth of hotels and Airbnbs, don't know that you would ever be able to quantify that. There's probably several events that would bring in a lot of hotel coverage. And so at one point you say, okay, well, we're just not going to charge you. I'm okay with it if that's what you want to do. But I think that we need to, how do you determine that threshold? CBB always said, you know, $80,000 to $100,000. It's all probably, they make a lot of money down there, but the vendors get that money. Not Lake Festival doesn't really get that money. So vendors make a lot of money. They don't pay income tax. You know, none of that is paid for by them. They're not here to sign anything. So,
I think the last time we discussed this, there was a big discussion about that. Is that going to be for the same event, or is that something that will be dealt with on a different? Because that was the reason we kind of stopped before, was when we got to Montgomery Field, and how do we handle that cost, because that field is so expensive to replace. And I didn't know how you would include that. Is that something we want to make part of this ordinance, or is that something that needs to be dealt with separately?
We need to say it like this. It's not really open up the public.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you had it on here, and but somebody could, if they had the insurance, they could rent that fee, right? And so if, no? Mm-hmm. You're shaking your head, Tom? No?
We've never rented it to anyone except.
But they could, if they were insured.
Let's say that we have never limited anyone in the past.
Oh, was that for that softball?
For the softball thing, we got we got fired by somebody about that.
We did. We got in trouble for that one. Yeah.
So, I didn't know if that, I know it was on here, but I didn't know how you wanted to include that, or do we just leave it off?
I don't mind including that. I almost think it should be a separate ordinance.
Yeah, because it may fluctuate or change. We got its own funding.
Kind of has its own, we still are transferring general fund money, and we'll sure replace it.
Right.
But it's very specific, unique amenities.
But let's say a group of baseball teams want to play there, local teams that want to play there, could they rent the field?
If they have insurance.
If they have insurance, do we have a price that we've already published for that?
$230 a game.
$230 a game.
A day.
Or day.
Per day.
Yeah, it's per day.
Per day.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Blackman, Mr. Plessa.
Probably should keep all our Montgomery Field as a separate entity because, look, well, those of us been on council for a while, look how the prices have fluctuated. Some of us out of our control far as even the community. So it would be hard to regulate that into the parameters that you did the rest of the stuff.
That would be really difficult. Both the high school and Wright State Center and Montgomery, they have put money into their own repairs and some additions. They've individually put a lot of money in it. They're looking at right now as far as redoing the visitor's dugout, not putting in guest suites, but I mean, they're looking at redoing the dugout and the restaurant. Those are really big ticket items that the public at large isn't doing. I mean, that's being done very specifically for that field.
Yeah, it probably should be treated.
That's why I just, that's where my leaning is, to keep that in separate ordinance.
Yeah, I think as far as the discussion with all these items, like we can create exemptions too. Like out of this whole list, if there's a certain thing we didn't think should be rented out, we could say that. The same with Montgomery Field, we could even say that's not something that's rented out to the public. But we had this discussion within the last year, like we weren't even consistent with that $230.
Right. It's because of the amount of money that they paid on the backside. That fee structure was to go towards money to go towards replacement. It's like the high school came in with 20,000 that baseball booster. I think
was it that much?
It's close to 20,000.
Yeah, they raised 1,000.
They're supposed to be 5,000
a year. But we have no way of knowing whether they are.
I don't know what they're putting away. It should have gone in the Civic Foundation, because there was a fund that Montgomery set up over there.
No, it goes into the bank, to the school.
It goes into the bank. School has the line item fund for that.
Okay.
And then they got a check.
Okay. But that's kind of where the check came from.
They didn't.
Montgomery did not for a few years for Mariners. Only because being president of it, they also spent.
They're doing it inside their
own new bleacher. They did some other.
I realize there's a.
They're saying
there's some things that come down
the house. Right, correct. The Montgomery's are, and so.
Right, but I
think we ought to protect some of their interest in that. And then,
and
as an exemption, that's fine. I just think we got to be due diligent there and cover that.
I would agree.
So if I'm understanding correctly, so what the administration is looking for is for council to say that we want to bring forth an ordinance saying that you guys can decide what prices to bring to us. Is that what
I guess?
Is that what we're asking?
First, we need council to decide what do you want to charge for.
Okay, so we're coming up with
don't tell me a dollar amount. Tell me what you're okay to reserve.
Okay.
Our parameter, depending on the parade. You know, you've got the rain dog parade. Sunday afternoon anyway, but the businesses are closed downtown. But other than that, you have Lake Festival Parade. Anybody else is doing the parade. Occasionally the school does one for something.
Homecoming.
What is it? A homecoming parade. But they have to get a signature from every property owner abutting the parade route before they can do it. So that is a parameter for everybody else. If you want a parade, you have to get agreement from every property owner. I don't care who you are, you have to do that, because when you close the street, you are taking away the right to use that street during that time period. So we do tell them that. When BLM was in here a few years ago, when they were kind of big in the area going throughout the state, they stayed at the sidewalk because they couldn't get a they couldn't get signatures. They said, well, you can still use the sidewalk, and that's what they did.
So what's available then are buildings, parking lots, playgrounds are available, and open grass areas. Is that what we're kind of looking at? Those categories of what we're okay with charging?
Well, you got the list in front of you to tell us what you're thinking. I'd be against running out playgrounds with the splash pads.
Correct, that's what we're talking about.
Specifically, since Kathy Sharkey is the one that donated the splash pad down there, she didn't want kids to ever pay for it. I would be against charging for any playgrounds. I don't think those should be reserved.
Everybody on council okay with that?
You guys okay with that?
Moving forward, Mr. Buxton, you good?
Maybe just take this list and each one of us put yes or no.
Why don't you do that? That would be great.
And then turn it back into me sometime over the next 2 weeks, and we can tally them and see who said yes.
That'd be a better way to do it. I just wanted a chance to explain and answer questions.
Can you send it out electronically?
We sure can.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, then you guys should just highlight or whatever and send it back.
That'd be great,
dude. Thank you. And then do we also need to talk about events as well? Is that part of this planning also?
I don't think it was.
What's that?
I think it was just these events. What we want to rent, and then we can get at least the list together, what people want to rent. And then we can work on getting prices that council agrees to. Then you can probably talk about events when you know what we're renting and what the prices are.
Other agenda items with this?
Not on this one.
Okay. And we did mention this last time as well. Are we okay to move forward with the catch and release policy with looking at that? We talked about it last meeting with getting an ordinance for at least a year, 2 years. For the ponds, yeah. Just to keep the fish stock high. We talked about it before.
Has anyone consulted with somebody that has special knowledge in that area, like get a plan together for, because I mean, I know like ODNR will, I don't know if they'll do it for our ponds, but they certainly have, there's a methodology to it. Like you need to put in X amount of fish at this age, etc.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion.
I've been contacted with Brian Miller a couple weeks ago, and he's going to put me, he told me to give me a guy thing that hasn't done yet from the state. They do have fish that they can stock the pond with, and they'll do it, I think, free of charge to us. But if we do that, like the Mayor Hazel said, then they require the people to have a fishing license fishing them pond.
And we don't want to do that in our parks. We want them to be able to fish without having a fishing license. A lot of young kids, that's where they learn. And I want them to be able to do that.
But he also said that if I get a hold of this guy, they would do a study on like Eastview Pond, and they'll be able to tell us how many fish are actually in that pond. Mm-hmm. And they'd probably do that for free. So we can go ahead and do it because
that might be a good start.
The fishing in Eastview Pond, I feel, is since we started to use aquadot vegetation control, the vegetation around that perimeter of the pond is gone now because we needed to because of safety concerns. And so you're not able to get to the fish from the bank. The guys go out there in their little flotillas, you've seen them out there, they catch a lot of fish out of that pond. But they're out away from the edge of the lake, from the bank. So with us treating that pond, I think the vegetation's going away and the habitat for the fish is also
it's further out.
So getting an expert, is that something that we can move forward with? Yeah. And is it at least going toward that direction?
Yeah, we've talked to ODNR about it.
Why don't we see if we can put something together a little bit?
A little bit more definitive
to find out what we can actually do. I agree with the law director. Yeah. I think that expertise would be very helpful. I don't want to accept anything from DNR because I don't want to do permitting.
Correct.
I don't want people to have fishing licenses.
Is there any other discussion with that too?
Does Lima, do they have a pond? Lima, their aquatic system?
Lima has several ponds.
They have the big reservoir. The state does stock them. They are required to have fishing license there.
And if there's any others,
Didn't work too.
Yeah, the question would be, do you want both ponds to be free fishing, or just one pond free fishing and the other one stocked by the state? I mean, either way, because it is, the state does really good stocking fish. So.
Discussion on that. How do you police that?
The state, but the state would, game wardens police it.
I would like to see it free for people as well, just because a lot of kids in our community, they don't have to get fishing licenses. And like you said, they train here, they learn how to fish, and it's just simple. It's nice, it's local, yes. It's home.
And it's confusing. This is hot and this and it is.
Yeah.
Correct.
I'd really like to let kids be able to do that. I mean, we're a great community. Yeah. I don't want us to.
It's expensive. Yeah. Just start them. If you go to hire Jones Fish, we put 200 fluvial in Sweetland, Dan, it was $400.
Isn't it 16 and under don't require a fishing license?
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
But the parents out there, they have to be. If they touch the rod.
Okay. Is everybody okay with all of our ponds being not stocked by ODNR and keeping it free? Or is there a discussion that we want to do one and one or get them stocked? And is there a discussion with that? I would venture to say just keep them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, before we go any further with restriction or catch and release, let's do a little bit more legwork on that.
If we can move forward with that, that'd be great.
All right, very good.
Thank you. Any other discussion for this meeting? Parks and Rec? Okay, then we will adjourn. 6:43.
All right, we're going to go right into our committee of the whole meeting, and we're going to need a motion to executive session. I got it here, George. To prepare for, conduct, review, negotiation, or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of their employment.
That's it.
Executive session for George's.
Motion made. Clausen seconds that. Boltzow?
Yes.
Buxton?
Yes.
Clausen?
Yes.
Fleck?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Sanford?
Yes.
All right, let's go over to.